United States Steel, USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theater Guild on the air. Our stars, Joan Caulfield and John Loder. Our play, For Love or Money, by F.U. Herbert. Adapted for radio by Robert Presnell, Jr. And produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, from Broadway, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater, the United States Steel Corporation brings you Joan Caulfield and John Loder in For Love or Money. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Thank you, Norman Brokenshire, and good evening, everyone. We're pleased to bring you, for the first time on the air, For Love or Money, an outstanding comedy success on Broadway this year. Starring as Janet is the delightful young motion picture actress Joan Caulfield. Co-starring as Preston Mitchell is John Loder, who recreates his original stage role in this play for us tonight. Vicki Cummings is featured as Nita, the role which she created in the Broadway production. We raise the curtain now on Act One of the radio premiere of For Love or Money. Middle of Manhattan, Times Square, Broadway at 45th Street, to be exact. It's about 8 o'clock in the evening on a Monday in early November. Look west and you'll see several theater marquees. On one, there's the name of Preston Mitchell spelled out in lights. Preston Mitchell with Nita Havemeyer. Preston Mitchell's name has been in lights for 12 years. People always go to see him. Let's walk past the people around the stage door and slip backstage.
More bad news tonight, Mr. Davis.
What? Is it Mitchell again?
He says he still isn't ready to come back.
He can't do this. A whole week? Why, he's going to ruin us. The box office is swamped with cancellations.
Looks like he's not over that funeral yet, poor guy.
Look, I'm only human. My heart breaks for him because he lost his wife. My heart breaks for everybody that loses their wife. But the show has got to go on.
Okay, okay. Nita Havemeyer's in your office phoning him right now. She knows how to handle him.
Well, you can't, Preston. I simply won't let you go on sitting out there and brooding. Oh, I understand how you feel, darling. Who knows you better? Who has your interests more at heart than I? And I tell you the best thing for you to do is to come back to the play, to us and to me. Besides, that understudy of yours is stepping on all my laughs.
On the other hand, about an hour and a half from Broadway, on Long Island Sound, there's an old town called Port Washington. It's quieter here and time's longer. This is where Preston Mitchell sits in a big, comfortable old house and thinks to lock himself away.
No, 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 Nita. I tell you, I'm not ready to come back. Don't ask any questions, darling. I've got my reasons. No, I don't want you to come out here. No, I don't want to see you now. I don't want to see any woman on earth right now. Goodbye. Wilbur, Mrs. Early, anybody... Mrs. Early, tell Wilbur to disconnect the doorbell and rip out the telephones. Tell him to mow down anyone who tries to enter this house. I absolutely must be alone.
Oh, Mr. Mitchell, it just breaks me up to see you feeling so bad. I brought you a little surprise.
Yeah, so I see. And exactly what is that decadent-looking yellow stuff you have in that glass?
It's an eggnog, sir. And it's the best thing for you. It's soothing to the nerves.
Well, I'd like a soothing double scotch, if you please. Send Wilbur up here with it. And remember, no phones, no visitors.
Oh, Mr. Mitchell, you shouldn't be shutting yourself up like this, refusing to see even your old and dear friends. Why, the living room is filled with the flowers everyone keeps sending. And Bill Tremaine and his ma are waiting downstairs now.
Well, send the flowers to the nearest hospital, and my regrets to the Tremaines. Scotch and solitude, Mrs. Ellie. That's all I want.
Mrs. Tremaine, but he just won't see anybody. I hope you understand.
Oh, poor dear Preston. He's taking it so hard, isn't he?
Oh, Mom, he knows what he's doing. Mrs. Early, did you tell him I was here?
I'm sorry, Bill, but he said he just wanted to be alone.
Oh, that's a shame. There never was a man so devoted to his wife, so loyal and so patient all these years. Oh, he gave so much during all the years she was sick. And now there's no one giving to him.
He won't let anyone do a thing for him. He wouldn't touch this eggnog.
Oh, did you put rum in it, Mrs. Early? That's the way I take it.
Oh, I'm Mrs. Tremaine. Oh,
well, not often. Just once in a while. Oh, Wilbur. Is Mr. Mitchell feeling all right, Wilbur?
Yep.
What's he doing?
Shitting.
Well, did he say anything?
Yep.
Well, what did he say?
He had to come back with another scotch.
That's old Prez. He sounds like himself. You know, I think I'll go upstairs. I've got a hunch Prez really wants to talk to someone.
Oh, but, Billy, you mustn't. He said...
Don't worry, Mother. Hey, Prez, open up. It's Bill Tremaine. I want to come in.
All you want to come in for?
What for? To help you finish that bottle. Open up.
Why, that's the best offer I've had in days. Come on in, Bill.
Prez, I've been thinking.
Don't do too much of it. It's bad stuff.
No, seriously, studying law under the GI Bill's okay, but it's not for a guy like me. You know, I thought about being an actor.
Who doesn't?
I see you in a play making love to a dish like Nita Havemeyer, and I think that's the life for me.
There's a little more in working in the theater than that, Bill, believe it or not.
You gonna marry her, Prez?
I haven't thought about it. Why? Would you like to?
Me? No, I'm not marrying for a long time. I'm playing the field. Say, Prez, why do you keep staring out the window at the seagull?
They annoy me. Any more questions?
Well, no, only I just don't get it. Of course, we all know how bad you feel, but you oughtn't to hide away like this. After all, the way she was, you knew it was going to happen someday.
Listen, Bill, there comes a time when a man has to be alone with his secrets. This is my time.
Okay, okay. Aren't you even going to eat anything?
Oh, if it makes you feel any better, yes, I'm going to eat. When Mrs. Early goes to bed, and Wilbur too, I'll creep downstairs and make myself a stack of sandwiches. Then I'll sit in the living room and listen to the radio and read and enjoy the beautiful peace of midnight. Peace and nobody sympathizing with me, understand?
I catch. Well, I gotta be moving anyway. Big party in Great Neck tonight.
That's swell. Have a good time.
Just the same, I think you need a nice long session with Miss Havemeyer. Boy, she could make me forget anything.
Well, then, by all means, go and have a session with her yourself. And forget about me. So long, Bill.
So long, Fred. Mother go home, Mrs. Early?
Yes, Bill.
Well, I guess I'll amble on myself. I don't think you have to worry about Mr. Mitchell. He's all right. Prez!
Lord have mercy, Mr. Mitchell.
Prez, what happened?
Oh, poor Mr. Mitchell.
Well, what's the matter with you two?
Prez, what happened? What'd you do?
What have you done, Mr. Mitchell?
What have I done? I took a pot shot at one of those seagulls.
Shot a gull?
Yes, Mrs. Elliot. If I decide to shoot myself, I'll let you know.
Now exactly at midnight, and here's your late news. A storm of almost hurricane proportions has descended on the Atlantic coast, covering an area roughly from Boston to the tip of New Jersey. The rain is expected to turn to snow and hail. The storm is...
Okay, pal, there's a storm. Ah, that's more like it. No, she couldn't have come out here. She couldn't. Okay. I knew it was too good to last. Nita, on a night like this... Well, who are you?
I'm terribly sorry to trouble you, but may I use your telephone, please?
Why, sure. Come in.
Thank you.
What's the matter? Anything wrong?
I want to phone a taxi. Do you know the number?
A taxi at this hour and in this weather?
I've got to. I want to get out of this place.
Oh, but you're drenched. You're soaking wet. Now, come over here by the fire.
Keep away from me. Don't touch me.
What?
I don't want you to come near me.
I have no interest whatsoever in coming near you. Now, stand by the fire, child, and relax. Do you want a drink?
No.
No, thank you. Well, I'll pour you one anyway. It's always done in a situation like this. Here, drink it.
Stay away from me. I don't want any man to come near me ever.
Listen, I don't mind you breaking that glass, but that brandy is older than you are. All right, take it easy. Now, stop it. Stop it, I said, or there's a slap coming up. Ah, that's better. Now, listen, you're safe here. Your only danger is catching pneumonia, and that isn't my fault. Well, you better get out of those wet clothes.
My clothes? I will not.
I'll get you something to put on. Here, try this beach robe. It's as big as a tent. It ought to cover the situation.
I don't want it. I will not undress.
My dear young lady, I'm not going to have you catching cold in my house and spending weeks here or maybe dying. Now, take off those wet clothes like the dear, dreary, sweet child you are.
I'm not in the habit of undressing in front of strange men.
I'm not asking you to make a habit of it. Just do as you're told. Now, change into this robe, and I'll stay in the hall with my back to the room.
I don't like you.
Oh, I really don't like you either. I'm only asking you to get dry and get warm. That's all. Understand? That's all.
Well, go out of the room.
Well, that's better. Now we're getting somewhere.
And don't peek, either.
Oh, don't flatter yourself. I don't think you'll be any treat for me. You're skinny, you're dank, and utterly miserable looking. What makes you think I'd peek?
I don't care what you think. Besides, I'm not skinny. I weigh 120 pounds.
No, then you're pudgy.
I'm not pudgy. 120 is right for my height.
All right. Can I turn around now?
No. Just a minute. All right. Come back.
Good. You feel better?
Yes.
Well, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Please don't patronize me anymore. I'm not a child.
How old are you? 30? 31?
That isn't so, and you know it.
Oh, stop being so dear, so feminine. I was just ribbing you a little. What's your name?
Janet.
Well, sit down, Janet. My name is Preston Mitchell.
Preston Mitchell?
Mm-hmm. Heard it before?
No, but I did know someone once whose name was Mitchell Preston. We went to high school together in Denver. That's funny, isn't it?
Hilarious.
Who's this picture of? It looks like Orson Welles.
It is.
And this one, Ingrid Bergman and Basil Rathbone. Do you collect these or something?
In a manner of speaking.
I used to do that when I was younger. Oh, this is a lovely room. Books and paintings and everything. Like the ones you see in magazines.
Thanks.
I see all the magazines. I work for a dentist, receptionist. At least I was. I don't think I will be anymore.
Why not? Were you fired?
I don't want to see Dr. McAnister ever again.
Oh, is he the reason you were out in the storm tonight, soaked and semi-hysterical?
Well, he started it, and someone else finished it. Oh, are these sandwiches?
Yes, have some.
May I?
Certainly, and there's half hot coffee in the thermos.
Oh, thank you. That's just what I'd like.
Good. You're a funny child.
Please don't call me a child. I'm 21.
Oh. Where do you live?
Jackson Heights.
Hadn't you better phone your family?
I haven't any.
I see. You live alone?
Yes.
You like it?
I hate it.
Oh, now, are you going to cry again?
No. I've cried so much in the last few days, I haven't any tears left. You've been a big help, Mr. Mitchell. You're not like the others.
Well, that's good. I've never been too fond of the others myself.
You're funny. What do you do?
I am an actor.
I knew an actor once. His name was Oscar or something. He played at the Orpheum in Denver. He had a seal.
I play without a seal. More difficult. Do you like the theater?
Which theater?
Oh, not any particular theater. The theater, going to the theater.
I like the movies.
Yeah, so I would imagine.
I haven't gone much lately, of course. But I used to go a lot with Jimmy when... Oh, why did I say that?
Is Jimmy part of the story?
He was my fiancé. He's in the Air Force. And the Army sent him to England a couple of months ago.
Well, you can't hold that against him.
No. But he just up and married some English girl. I got the letter yesterday.
Do you love him very much?
I don't know. I just feel all empty inside. Oh, human beings are all beastly.
Ah, that brings us back to your adventure tonight. I'm dying to know what Dr. Mc... what's his name started and somebody else finished?
Dr. McAnister. I had to slap him once.
You did?
Yes, he gets fresh in the developing room while we're examining X-rays. You know, he's at least 40.
You don't say.
But he's been all right for a long time. I thought he was all over that foolishness. So, when he asked me out to this big formal party in Great Neck tonight, I thought it might help me to forget, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Only he had a lot of drinks and started getting fresh again.
And who finished it?
Well, I left the party with someone else, a boy I met there. He seemed nice, too. But he turned out worse than the doctor. We drove way out here, and this boy, he stopped the car, and I had to slap him, too. I jumped out of the car, and the storm got worse, and I got lost. I guess maybe I got scared.
Well, you're warm and dry now, and you've got the story off your chest.
Thank you for being so nice. I don't know you at all, yet here I am after the whole thing, wearing your beach robe and toasting my toes in front of your fire.
Very pretty toes, too.
Thank you.
That's strange. It's been years since I thought of toes being pretty.
You're funny, Mr. Mitchell.
Uh-uh. I think I know who that is.
Aren't you going to answer it?
No.
But maybe it's important.
Too many people in this world have nickels.
Oh, I don't think I can stand it.
All right, you answer it. Just say I can't be disturbed.
Me? But who will I say I am?
Janet.
But I...
Go on, use your imagination. How did you stall off the doctor's patients?
All right. Mr. Mitchell's residence. Oh, just a moment. It's New York City calling.
Take the message and say I'm asleep.
Hello? Yes, I'll take the call. Hello? I'm sorry. Mr. Mitchell can't be disturbed tonight. Who? No, this is Janet. Yes, Janet. Oh, just answering the phone call. Yes, I'll give him a message. Miss Havemeyer? Yes, I'll tell him. Thank you. Goodbye.
Magnificent.
She said she couldn't come tonight because of the storm, but that she'd come tomorrow during the day for sure.
How nice.
Is she a friend of yours?
Yes.
You're not married?
No.
I should have asked that first, shouldn't I? Why aren't you married?
I used to be.
Oh, actors always seem to get divorced, don't they? I think divorce is terrible.
I'm not divorced. My wife is dead.
Oh, forgive me. I'm terribly sorry.
Look, Janet, you don't have to feel sorry. I'll tell you why some other time. Just don't feel sorry. I'm not.
I didn't mean to...
All right. Let's not talk about it. Will you please press that button behind you?
This?
Yes, press hard. Thank you. Where do you live in Jackson Heights?
In a crummy little boarding house. With the worst wallpaper I ever saw. It's hideous.
I've got a theory about wallpaper like that. It's all designed by a nasty little man who looks like Peter Lorre. He's a mean little guy, and he probably wants to murder someone, but he hasn't got the courage to do it, so he takes it out on the rest of mankind by designing wallpaper to make millions of people miserable.
Did you just make that up?
Mm-hmm, certainly.
Well, I'm afraid it's where I've got to live anyway. Would you mind awfully driving me back?
Yes, I wouldn't mind awfully. Well, you'd better spend the night here.
No, thank you.
Now, listen, you can't go home in this weather.
But I can't...
We have a very nice guest room equipped with every modern convenience, including a key on the inside.
No, really, that's awfully kind, but I could...
Do you ring, Mr. Nichols?
Oh, Wilbur, I'm sorry to get you up, but you see that heap of wet clothes?
Yep.
Take them all into the kitchen to dry, will you? Maybe Mrs. Ellie can...
You want her to do it now?
No, tomorrow will do.
I figured it would. Good night.
Tomorrow? Well, you can't really think I'm going to spend the night here.
All I know is that Wilbur just walked off carrying all your clothes.
But I can't stay. I can't. Why, we hardly know each other from Adam and Eve.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Eve never wore a beach robe.
Oh, Mr. Mitchell, Wilbur says that, oh, my heaven, sakes alive.
Come in, Mrs. Ellie, come in. My dear, I want you to meet my housekeeper.
Hello.
Mrs. Ellie, this is Mr... By the way, honey, what is your name?
Mr.
breakfast for two. I just don't know what to say, Wilbur.
Don't say anything.
I know it don't seem right, but somehow, after all he's been through, maybe you can't rightly blame him.
I ain't blamed him.
Maybe him being an actor makes it different. You suppose that's it?
Actors don't act no different from other men, except when they're acting.
I took her dress up to her in the guest room this morning, but she didn't put it on. She got right back into that beach robe. Said it'd make her feel funny to eat breakfast with Mr. Mitchell in her evening gown.
Fix a waffle, women. They're waiting in there.
Wilbur Early, someday I'll meet a man who likes to hear a woman talk, and I'll walk straight to him. You hear me?
Yep. Not worried.
Why not?
No such a man. Give me the waffle.
Ah, breakfast. I'm ravenous.
Morning, Mr. Mitchell. Morning, miss.
Miss Blake, Wilbur. Her name is Blake.
Good morning. Oh, doesn't everything look lovely?
I'll be right back for the coffee.
Janet, you don't want to go back and work for that dentist, do you?
No, I don't want to see him or x-rays of teeth ever again.
And you don't want to live in that boarding house either.
No, that's where I met Jimmy.
All right. You have no folks, you're completely alone, so how would you like to come and live here for a while?
Here?
Yes. You're rather loose ends now, and so am I. Let's mend together.
I couldn't live here, Mr. Mitchell. What would people think?
Probably what they shouldn't. But we needn't mind as long as they've no right to. If you like, we'll put it on a business basis. I'll hire you as a secretary, a resident secretary.
Honest?
Honest.
Oh, I do need a job.
Well, you're hired. Oh, Wilbur.
Yep.
When you're through in the kitchen, I want you to drive over to Miss Blake's house and pick up her things.
Right, Mr. Mitchell.
I really am a very good typist, Mr. Mitchell, and I'm good on the phone, and I could answer your fan mail. Oh, but you're not a movie actor. I don't suppose you get any fan mail.
Well, it doesn't come in freight cars the way it does to Mr. Van Johnson, but I assure you I do get some. But I am quite well known, if I say so myself.
You're cute. You're mad because I didn't know who you were.
Now, look here. I am not mad, and I absolutely... You know, I think I could work into a nice, healthy quarrel with you. That's a great relief. I haven't quarreled with a woman in years.
Hi in there.
Oh, Bill, come on in.
Ah, just in time for a waffle. Well, hello. Fancy meeting you here.
Hello yourself.
Well, what's this? You two know each other?
We sure do. Say, how'd you disappear so fast last night? I turned the car around, but there wasn't a sign of you.
You'll excuse me, Mr. Mitchell. I'll wait in my room until this person goes.
In your room?
He's the boy who was going to drive me home and was so...
Now, sit down, Janet. Bill, I'm surprised.
Oh, Prez, you know me. I'm harmless. I wouldn't hurt a fly.
You're poisonous.
I see it's up to me to explain you two to each other. Janet, Bill's family and I are old friends. In fact, I'm his godfather, and after he lost his daddy, he practically grew up in this house.
Please, Mr. Mitchell, don't bother.
My child, you're the hardest one to explain, and you're not being very helpful. Bill, last night Miss Blake came to my door, half scared out of her wits by certain gentlemen of her acquaintance. Suppose you account for your part in the proceedings.
Well, I guess I sort of went off the beam, Prez. Too much party, and she did look cute. I'm sorry, Miss Blake. I guess I was a heel.
Okay. Now, what do you say, Janet?
Well, all men are heels anyway. But when they admit it, I guess there's some hope for them.
Don't say anything to my mother, will you, Prez?
Oh, not a word, Bill. Hello, what's that?
Well, you got a visitor. And if I recognize the car, this will be Yummy herself.
Oh, no.
Yep, Nita Havemeyer.
Oh, dear, I don't want anyone to see me in this beach robe.
Yeah, I don't want her to see you either. Beat it upstairs to my room, quick.
Come in, Miss Havemeyer.
Why, hello, Billy. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Listen, darling, how are you, dear? How do you feel?
Oh, fine, fine. And you look stunning as usual.
Thank you. Did you get my message last night?
Oh yes. How is it out? Cold?
A little.
And New York, how is it there?
The same.
Is that so? Did you drive out?
No, dear. I came by water buffalo. What's the matter with you?
Oh, just wondering about the weather. Sit down, Nita. Have a drink.
At 11 in the morning.
I think I'll be running along, Prez.
No, don't go, Bill. What's your hurry?
Oh, well, you and Miss Havemeyer probably have things to say to each other.
Oh, nonsense, Bill. Nita...
Really, Preston, tact is such a rare quality in the young. You should never suppress it. See you later, Bill.
Yeah, I'll pop in afterwards. So long, Prez.
So long.
Now, what are you so nervous about, darling?
Because you're going to ask me questions, and I don't know all the answers yet.
Right. Who was the girl who answered the phone last night? A girl named Janet.
Janet? Oh, yes, yes, the girl from the agency.
Agency?
The Acme Agency, a domestic employment. It answers phones. Their number's Great Neck 9381J. You have a cup of coffee?
Thank you. Preston, dear, I've been looking forward to this talk. Tell me the truth. Now that the awful strain under which you've been living all these years...
You remember
years...
my suggesting on numerous occasions that I'd rather not talk about it?
All right, darling, I just wanted you to know that...
There's a lamp still burning for me in your window.
Yes, and I just trimmed the wick.
And now it burns with a bright matrimonial glow.
Darling, do you remember that time in Boston when we were trying on a new play and you said you wished you were free? We're free now.
Yes, Nita, I know. And I meant it. But not yet, Nita, please. We'll talk about it later.
Poor darling, I guess I can wait a bit more. Anyway, you are coming back to the play, aren't you?
Oh, sure, I'll be back, Nita. Just another few days, you understand.
Don't I always understand, darling?
Always, dear. Within limits.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, Wilbur?
I'm ready to go pick up the young lady's clothes.
Well, well, ready to go. Isn't that fine? You just wait outside, Wilbur, and I'll be right along.
Great fellow, Wilbur. Perfect servant. Preston, may I inquire what young lady's clothes? Or would you rather not talk about that?
Infinitely, but I don't see how it can be avoided now. Hey, Janet! Janet, come on down.
Did she go?
No, but come down here. She's dying to meet you. Miss Havemeyer, Miss Blake. And now, if you don't mind, I'll be running along to join Wilbur. Have a nice chat.
Hello. I know who you are.
I think I know who you are, too.
Oh, I bet Mr. Mitchell's been telling you all about me.
Why, no. No, you seem to have slipped his memory entirely.
He's just wonderful. He's been so nice to me.
Oh? In what way?
I never had such a wonderful time. And it all started so badly, too.
It's better now, though, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I must look silly in this beach robe. But I didn't have a stitch of my own clothes up there.
Does that bother you?
Oh, not anymore.
Oh.
Miss Havemeyer, I bet you're wondering what on earth I'm doing here.
Miss Blake, that's not all I'm wondering.
You are listening to Joan Caulfield and John Loder in For Love or Money, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Good evening. This is the time of the year when the youth of America goes back to school. So tonight seems like a good time to tell you about the kind of schoolwork that's going on right now and every month in the year throughout the subsidiaries of United States Steel. School for U.S. Steel's family of 300,000 men and women workers means just one thing. And that is the tremendous employee training program which was begun long before the war. I think you'd be amazed at the great variety of courses given for employees by U.S. Steel. They include basic on-the-job training, learning definite trades through apprentice training, graduate work in industry classes, specialized training through visual aid programs, and advanced supervisory training, which covers the fundamentals of work supervision, processing of material, and principles of leadership. How thorough are these courses? Well, for example, an employee taking an apprentice training course in sheet metal working goes through all phases of actual sheet metal work before he qualifies, and in addition, he has regular classwork in mathematics, mechanical drawing, and economics, plus an intensive series of shop talks on subjects vital to the particular trade he's chosen. Of course, he gets paid all the time he's learning. Benjamin Fairless, president of U.S. Steel, summed up the corporation's philosophy of employee training back in 1936 when he said, quote, "It provides job opportunities limited only by the capabilities of the individual and benefits not only the individual, but the industry and the community as well." And that's exactly the way it's worked out. Through U.S. Steel's upgrading method, thousands upon thousands of workers have not only helped U.S. Steel smash all peacetime production records, but have also helped themselves to better jobs at better pay. Providing workers with the knowledge necessary to perform creditably on their present jobs and to progress in the company through a complete and versatile training program is a vitally important operation for the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, AM and FM, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of For Love or Money, starring Joan Caulfield as Janet and John Loder as Preston, and featuring Vicki Cummings as Nita. Preston Mitchell, the Broadway star who wanted to be alone, now has Janet Blake on his hands. Nature made a charming girl of Janet, but the wrong men had made her jobless, homeless, and maybe a little heartbroken before she became Preston's resident secretary at his big Long Island house. It's 2 weeks later, on Sunday morning.
Janet? Janet?
Hmm?
What's the matter? Heavy thoughts?
Oh, no, I guess not. Just sort of wondering.
What about?
Well, I've been here a week now, and it's been really wonderful, but... Well, I'm supposed to be your secretary, but I haven't done anything.
Well, I've been busy this week, you know, getting back into the play. There'll be lots of work for you soon.
It sort of looks funny. I mean, my being here and not doing anything. Miss Havemeyer was asking me how many letters you dictate.
Yes, I know her pretty pink little tongue. Just ignore it.
Oh, I didn't mean to complain about her. She's very attractive, isn't she? And so sophisticated, like you.
A fine figure, too.
She asked me about the perfume I was wearing and... I made the mistake of telling her that you gave it to me. She said, like she does, you know.
How well I know.
But honestly, you shouldn't bring me perfume and candy and things like that anymore.
Oh, forget it. You can start worrying when I come home with a mink coat.
No, I mean it. I can't go on accepting your hospitality and kindness when you won't let me do a thing here.
I'm perfectly satisfied with the arrangement.
I guess Bill was right.
Bill?
He says not one person in a million would believe all this is purely platonic.
Wolfish William is not that one.
No, you're wrong there, Mr. Mitchell. Bill knows you, and he knows me by now. He says you're being superlatively noble to compensate for all other men being such stinkers.
Bill seems to have a lot to say. Listen, I'm not so noble.
He says you're trying to redeem the whole masculine sex in my eyes.
Janet, look at me. Look carefully. What do you see in my eyes? What's there now?
I don't know.
There's not nobility, is it? Don't you see something else?
I think there's sadness. I think you miss your wife more than you admit.
So that's it. All right, it looks as though the time has come for me to speak up. It's overdue anyway. Now sit down, Janet, and I'll tell you a story. It's a story I've never told anyone before. The truth about my marriage.
Oh, please, you don't have to talk about it.
On the contrary, it'll be a great relief. You've heard people talk about my great devotion to my wife during the year she was ill. But I didn't love her. Not after the first few months of our marriage.
Isn't it awfully cruel to stop loving people because they get sick?
Janet, my wife was an invalid as the result of an automobile accident. It happened the day after she left me. To run away with another man. Does that make it sound a little different?
I don't know what to think.
Well, he was a young fellow, a juvenile that I'd given a job to in a play. She left me a note saying she was tired of me, and off they went. They got about 15 miles from this house when the car smashed up. They brought her back here.
Back to you?
Yes. And you just don't desert a faithless wife when fate steps in and cripples her. So I took care of her after that and never said a word, and let myself be credited with kindness and devotion. Do you think I still miss her?
I think you're the most generous man I know.
Yes? Well, listen. There's a little suspicion in the back of my head that I created a lie of nobility for a very selfish reason. I was in the theater, quite a public figure. Maybe I've been wearing a halo all these years just to protect my own position. How does that strike you?
You mustn't talk like that. It's not true.
And now, let's forget about it.
Preston. Oh, there you are.
Oh, hello, Mrs. T. Come in. You looking for Bill?
Yes, I need him at home. A fuse blew out or something, and I can't find the new ones. You see, I always keep the fuses in the rice can, but the only thing I can find there now is rice.
Did you look in the refrigerator?
Oh, don't be silly, Preston. Why should I keep fuses there?
Well, Margaret, your Bill has gone out walking on the beach with Janet. At least, that's what they said.
Oh. Miss Blake.
What's this? A raised eyebrow from you, Margaret?
Well, Preston, as long as we are alone, I would like to talk to you about that. Oh, surely you know what people are saying about you and this girl?
I can guess, but I didn't think you'd say it.
Really, Preston? Are you becoming fond of her?
Well, of course I'm fond of her. She's alone in the world, and I've taken her in here to work for me. What about it?
Well, I'm worried. I think that...
That I'm falling in love with her?
No, that Bill is. Preston, is she a nice girl?
She certainly is.
Well, she does seem quite refined. But Bill's so different nowadays. He's so reckless. Do you think she's the right girl for him?
Why ask me? I'm his godfather, not his guardian. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Oh, New York. Yes, I'll hold on. Hello? Oh, hello, Nita. Why, sure, I've been up for hours. Well, certainly I sound bright. I feel bright. Come out? Why, by all means, come for dinner. Yes, sure, we can talk. Swell. See you later, then. You know, Margaret, my soul and my morals are the object of intense research from every quarter these days.
Hello.
Hi. Where's Bill? His mother was here looking for him.
He went home. I saw her going down the road just now.
Yes, she blew a fuse.
You know, Mr. Mitchell, I don't think she approves of me.
In her case, there's a very thin line between disapproval and maternal concern. She's worried about Bill because he's been exposed to your endearing young charms.
Oh, that's silly.
All right, if you say so. And by the way, will you tell Mrs. Early that Miss Havermeyer's coming to dinner?
Oh, she is?
Do you mind?
Oh, no. I think she's very amusing and terribly attractive for her age.
Ha.
Would it be all right if I asked Bill, too? He sort of hinted at it before.
Go right ahead. You are getting fond of Bill, aren't you?
Oh, he's cute. And since you and Miss Havermeyer will be talking plays in the stage all evening, Bill might sort of balance things. I'll go and phone him.
Would you like his arrival announced by a salute of 21 guns?
Yes, that would be fine.
I feel it only right to warn you, Janet, that Bill is liable to make violent love to you at the drop of a hat.
There comes a time in every girl's life, Mr. Mitchell, when she's just waiting around for a hat to drop.
Well, Barrett, did they like the souffle?
They ate it.
Didn't they say anything about it?
No.
You wouldn't tell me if they did.
My job's serving, not listening.
Wilbur, do you think he'll marry one of them?
Can't marry both.
How are they sitting?
How does anyone sit?
Oh, you make me sick. I mean, who's sitting opposite Mr. Mitchell in the hostess chair? Miss Havermeyer or Miss Janet?
Bill Tremaine. Now get the coffee ready. They're taking it in the living room.
Oh, I'm glad Wilbur made a big fire. Oh, it's cold tonight.
Yes, dear, you must be freezing. There really isn't much to that dress, is there?
I like it,
Janet. Oh, I do too, Bill. I think it's lovely.
Mr. Mitchell, you don't think it's too daring, do you?
Oh, no. It merely gives me a sensation of suspense.
Oh, Preston, you are wonderful. That's the line from Hit Me Again. We did it in 39.
Still appropriate.
You know, that was a charming play. Do you remember that wonderful line about wallpaper?
No, I don't remember.
Of course you do, darling. Now, let me see it. When something like this, I've got a theory about wallpaper like that. It was all designed by a nasty little man who looks exactly like Peter Lorre. He was a mean little guy.
I do not remember it.
Oh, but how could you forget that? Well, darling, won't you let me in on the joke?
Ask him.
I've no idea what she's talking about. Well, don't look at me. Who wants coffee?
Janet, let's leave the grown-ups alone. Come on downstairs to the game room. I'll shoot you a game of pool.
Well, will you excuse us?
Ask him.
Certainly, Janet.
Have a nice game.
Thank you.
You know, Preston, your little Janet is very pretty.
Oh, stop calling her my little Janet in that underlined, italicized fashion.
Now, why are you keeping her on here?
Because I want to.
Oh, don't.
Stop trying.
Don't you see, Preston, she'd never be able to make you happy.
Who's asking to be happy?
Please don't shout. I know you like them very young and naive and brimming over with admiration for you. But I can't see what you have in common with her. She's a nice little thing, but she's not like her. She knows nothing about the theater and cares less.
No, and I'm glad.
That poor child, she's so confused. All mixed up.
She is? About what?
Oh, darling, are you blind? She's obviously in love with Bill. I like Bill. He's a nice boy. They make a cute couple, don't they?
I hadn't thought of them as a couple. Why is she confused if she's in love?
She wouldn't be, except for you. Naturally, she's so sorry for you, so deeply obligated. She probably...
I wish people would stop yapping about obligations to me. That girl owes me nothing. I'm the one who's in debt to her. At least I've heard a little laughter around here recently instead of those dreary seagulls.
There are no seagulls on East 63rd Street. And I've always laughed at your jokes. Even the old ones.
Are you proposing to me?
If I did, at least it wouldn't be because I felt obliged to. And believe me, Preston, if that girl hasn't said yes to Bill, it's simply because she's being torn between love and a sense of gratitude to you.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
And she'll go on being torn while you sit about being so nauseatingly noble. Why don't you get down off your pedestal and leave her free to decide?
Well, I hate to concede it, but you may be right. Well, what can I do about it?
Preston, for heaven's sake, you're an actor, aren't you?
So what?
So act. Make her dislike you. Be a heavy instead of a hero. Let her see that her idol has feet of clay, not a head of putty. Just think of all the bad melodramatic lines you've had to read on the stage and fling them at her. Lay it on thick, yell, cry, tear things up. Accuse her.
Accuse her of what?
Anything. Having an affair with Bill right in your own house. You know the kind of lines. Like the ones you had in The Glorious Urge. Do you think I'm a blind and sodden fool? Don't I know that you've made my home a place of clandestine trysts with your lover?
Oh, yes. That was the play where I said, you have bled for me every generous impulse I ever felt towards you. The corn grew 10 feet high that season.
Now you know you were wonderful in it, and you can do it again, darling. Just make her cringe. Nothing terrifies an ingenue quite so much as violence.
Oh, now, wait, Nita. I couldn't hurt her feelings.
If you really want to help her, it's better to get it over quickly. You only have a silly crush on the child anyway.
Well, I'll have to think about it, Nita.
Do, and you'll see I'm right. And while you're about it, you might dot the I's and cross the T's for her about us. Oh, we can have a good life, darling. It's true, and you'd admit it if you just stopped being adolescent.
I'll think about that, too.
Janet, let's not play anymore.
But it was your idea.
I want to talk to you.
Oh, Bill, not again. Please, I've told you.
And I won't listen because you don't know what you're talking about. I'm the one for you, Janet. I'm in love with you. What's more, I'm going to tell Prez the whole thing.
No.
Why not? You planning to stay here the rest of your life?
I haven't thought about it.
Well, you'd better. Because we're going to be married.
No, Bill, we aren't.
You'll change your mind when he marries Nita.
Who says he's going to?
She does.
Well, doesn't he get a vote?
Take it from me, he'll marry her, and I'm rooting for it. They're right for each other. You'd realize it, too, if you just stop romanticizing him.
Oh, there's no use talking like this. I wish you'd go home.
Oh, don't get sore, baby. I can't help talking like this. I've got it bad. You're for me, baby, and that's the way it's got to be.
Oh, Bill, please let me go. Kissing won't prove anything.
Well, you couldn't stop it. We're meant to be together. It's...
Hey, down there.
Shh. Yes, Mr. Mitchell?
Nita's going. Come up and say goodnight.
Be right there.
Oh, sure. He speaks, we jump.
Bill, I want you to go home now, too.
Afraid I'll make you face the truth? Okay, but we're going to settle this yet, the three of us.
I'm sorry to break up this lovely party, but it started to snow, and I don't like to drive on slippery roads.
She ought to spend the night here, Mr. Mitchell.
I asked her to.
Oh, you're very hospitable, but I hate to inconvenience people, and it does cause so much confusion, doesn't it?
Oh, no such thing. If you want to stay, Janet will fix you up with a pair of pajamas.
Darling, you know I always wear nighties. I still have the lovely black lace one you bought me in Chicago. No, I'll just run along tonight and see you tomorrow at the theater.
Okay. Bill, why don't you let Nita drop you off at your house?
Well, I wasn't going just yet.
It's getting awfully cold, Bill.
And you don't want to walk home in the cold and the snow, do you? Besides, you said you'd like to be alone with Miss Havemeyer. Remember?
But listen,
Good night, Bill.
Come along, Bill.
Well,
Preston, don't let Janet catch cold tonight. Be sure to see she's well covered up and tucked in tight. Charming evening, wasn't it?
I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Nita, darling. Drive carefully.
You are listening to For Love or Money, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
By now, I guess most of you know that September has been officially designated as Youth Month throughout our nation. The basic idea of National Youth Month is mighty important. It's designed to rally all of us to a better and more active appreciation of our American youth and its problems. And National Youth Month is also designed to awaken in youth itself a sense of its responsibilities and its importance in the life and growth of our nation right now as well as in the days to come. I'm sure all of you realize that a better break for young America means a better future for our nation, for among the youth of today are our leaders of tomorrow. But that better break can only come when families and communities and youth itself all realize not only what has to be done, but how to go about doing it in a really constructive youth program. Now, what are some of the things we can do to help our children, and all other children, too, find the greatest possible opportunity to make themselves into strong, useful, happy citizens? Well, here are four very practical ways in which the National Youth Committee suggests you can help. First, you can make your home really and truly your child's home. Do it by playing together, working together, and thinking together. Second, get acquainted with your child's school. Get to know his teachers and his playmates. Third, find out what facilities exist in your own community for child recreation and for physical and mental child health. Find out just how adequate these facilities are, both in quality and in quantity. Fourth, make it your business to see if there are enough active social agencies in your town, and whether or not the police force, court, and detention systems are of the caliber needed to give your children the protection they deserve. Remember, if all of us work together now to help youth, we will not only do much to build better citizens for a stronger America in the future, but we'll go a long way toward stamping out the very real and present threat of juvenile delinquency, a threat so real that our Attorney General, the Honorable Tom Clark, calls it one of the most serious problems confronting our nation today.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of For Love or Money, starring Joan Caulfield and John Loder, and featuring Vicki Cummings. While Preston Mitchell has been playing his Monday night performance at the theater in New York, Bill has been making another appearance in Preston's living room. It's well after 1 a.m. now, and Bill's restless.
How long are you going to sit up waiting for him?
I'm going to bed pretty soon. And you ought to, too.
Well, he ought to be here by now, if he's coming.
What do you mean?
Well, Nita Havemeyer's apartment is right near the theater, and he just might have popped in there.
That's his business, not yours.
And it's not my girl's business, either.
Look, I am not your girl, Bill.
Well, you will be. You belong with me, not him. I'm going to bust this unhealthy devotion of yours wide open. I'm going to get him out of our lives.
Don't you dare say things like that. He's devoted to you.
And I liked him, too, but somebody's got to wake both of you up.
Bill, I won't.
Okay, don't listen. But he will. Prez, I've got to talk to you. Right now, while Janet's in the kitchen.
Okay, shoot.
Well, I won't waste any time. I'm in love with Janet.
Why tell me? Tell her.
She knows. I'm telling you because you're in it. Now, listen, she'll marry me, I know, but she feels all this concern about you. You've done so much for her. She's got all this gratitude, and it's just messing everything up.
Oh, don't you start yapping about her gratitude. Just tell me what makes you so sure she wants to marry you.
Oh, don't worry. She made it clear enough. Oh, maybe she'd deny it if you asked her, but I'm the guy whose arms she wants around her when she feels alone and mixed up. I'm the one who can fix it. With us, it's all very simple and uncomplicated, see? The way it is with young people.
All right, don't get excited. Maybe I do have to make up my mind, and I'll let you know, Bill. Now you go home.
The next time I leave this house, she's going with me, and no maybes about it.
Bill, what are you shouting about?
It's nothing, Janet. Bill's leaving. Aren't you, Bill?
Okay, good night. And if you ask me, Prez, I don't think you can take it.
I brought in the coffee and sandwiches.
No, thank you. I had something to eat after the show. At Miss Havemeyer's apartment, if you must know.
Mr. Mitchell, you're upset, aren't you? You're angry about Bill, and it's my fault.
Janet, there are moments when a man has things on his mind, and a sensible girl will take the hint.
But I hate to see you disturbed like this. You've been so wonderful to me, done so much for me.
Janet!
Please, I didn't mean to hurt you. I owe you so much. I'm so indebted to you. I wouldn't hurt you for love or money.
Will you stop?
I only wanted you to know.
All right, now I do know. Are you satisfied?
You are tired, aren't you? Shall I get your vitamin pills?
I am not tired. I may not be in the bloom of my youth like Bill, but I am not so decrepit yet that a performance in the theater exhausts me. Is that a new dress you're wearing?
This? Oh, it's a house coat. Came today. Isn't it pretty? It's zipped.
A beach robe for me and a house coat for Bill. And if the zipper sticks, I suppose Bill will fix it. How very convenient.
Oh, don't be silly. He's all thumbs.
See here, Janet, do you think I'm a blind and sodden fool?
Why, Mr. Mitchell.
Look, I don't care what you do with Bill or anyone else, but I just assume you didn't use my home as a place of clandestine trysts.
What do you mean?
Haven't you been weeping on his shoulder here and kissing him?
Well, yes, but only because I...
Don't try and explain. I'm tired of having my hospitality abused so shamelessly. You've been bleeding me for every generous impulse I ever felt. And at the same time, nurturing a clandestine liaison under my very nose.
Doing what?
What are those letters I asked you to type? Are they ready?
Yes, they're on the mantel there.
And that's a silly place to put them. Look at that. You can't even spell. Box office is two words.
I'm sorry.
I should have guessed that efficiency and zippered house coats hardly went together. And to think that you were so coy and modest about coming to live here. Why, I even had to invent a secretarial job to overcome your girlish scruples. I ought to have my head examined. Well, that takes care of your typing. And what's the wastebasket doing out here in the living room? And teacups left all over the table. Well, why don't you say something?
Well, what can I say?
That's right. Cry. I'm a pushover for tears. You know that, don't you? That's how you got in here, with tears. Well, it was an expensive lesson, and I'm no doubt you and your boyfriend found it highly amusing. I'd consider it a great favor if you clear out of here before I'm down in the morning. Take everything with you. You're welcome to anything you see that isn't nailed down. What's the matter? Have you turned idiot?
You're such a bad actor.
What did you say?
I do hope you're better on the stage. You really aren't convincing me at all. You were trying to make me hate you, weren't you?
Well, what do you know about acting? You never stick your silly nose inside a theater.
But that was the general idea, wasn't it? You were trying to drive me to Bill, weren't you? So I'd go with no regret.
But...
Say, I bet Nita had thought this up. It sounds like her.
Well, as a matter of fact...
I knew it. Oh, honestly, it was very bad. Oh, I'm sure you're very good on the stage, of course. But that's different. You don't have to make it up yourself.
Well, I'll be... What was wrong with it?
Oh, a few things were pretty good. Tearing up the letters and throwing things around. Oh, but your line. Like the one about my house coat. How bitty convenient.
No, that wasn't too bad. How very you may be right. I was trying to make you cringe. Didn't you cringe just a little bit?
Nope, not a quiver.
I started on the wrong note. What I should have done was to build it slowly. I should have started making passes at you. And then I could have grabbed you and kissed you and then shoved you away as though you disgusted me.
Yes, that would have been better.
I did that in a show once. You could have heard a pin drop. Ran for 2 years.
You're wonderful.
Janet, Did Bill ask you to marry him?
Yes.
He told me you and he were going to get married.
He had no right to.
He thinks you're all confused. But maybe I'm the one who's been confused.
You were being noble once more. Weren't you, darling?
You never called me darling before tonight.
No, darling.
Janet, sit down. Listen. I'm more than 15 years older than you.
It's nearer 20. I looked you up in Who's Who.
Okay, then 20.
So when you're 100, I'll be only 80. Oh, that's awful. Preston, what's a place of a clandestine something?
Well, don't you know?
No.
Why, is this place, darling, a place where lovers meet.
Oh, dearest.
You're not so pudgy after all.
Should I be? I'll be whatever you like. Mm-hmm. And who would that be?
Don't move, I can reach it. Hello? Yes? New York calling, it'll be Nita.
Uh-oh, let me talk to her.
You keep still. Now cut that out and be quiet. Hello?
Kiss me, darling.
Shh. Oh, yes, Nita. Yes, I got home all right. Huh? Oh, that. Well, you see, she's gone to bed now. No, I didn't get a chance to. I didn't get a chance to try it.
Preston,
that is, she...
darling, if you have to sit here and talk to that woman, at least let me get up off your lap.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of For Love or Money, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Joan Caulfield as Janet and John Loder as Preston, and featuring Vicki Cummings as Nita. Other members of the cast included Bill Redfield as Bill Tremaine, Madeline Clive as Mrs. Tremaine, Roy Fant as Wilbur, Dora Mirandi as Mrs. Early, Fred Wayne as the stage manager. And here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Theater Guild on the Air is pleased to welcome back James Stewart, starring in Frank Raven's famous comedy, That's Gratitude. That's Gratitude is a play that shows you can get into trouble in a big way by doing a very small favor.
Remember next week, That's Gratitude, starring James Stewart. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theater Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langer and Teresa Halpern, with Armina Marshall, executive producer. Program is directed by Homer Fickett. Carol Irwin is production executive and S. Mark Smith, editor. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy. Joan Caulfield is currently starring in the Universal International picture, Larceny. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.